Exactly how much is riding on the debates? Well, according to Lore, several presidential candidates have scored or lost big time in a debate. There was Richard Nixon's 5 o'clock shadow, Gerald Ford's insistence that Poland was not dominated by the Soviet Union, or the 1988 debate that opened with CNN's Bernard Shaw posing a grotesque hypothetical to Democrat Michael Dukakis.
Governor, if Kitty Dukakis were raped and murdered, would you favor an irrevocable death penalty for the killer?
No, I don't, Bernard, and I think you know that I've opposed the death penalty during all of my life. I don't see any evidence that it's a deterrent, and I think there are better and more effective ways to deal with violent crime. We've done so in my own state.
The Massachusetts governor's dispassionate reply was seen by many as a damaging revelation of personality. It may have been as influential as the candidate's position on capital punishment. While Governor Dukakis lost in 1988, his running mate delivered one of the most memorable put-downs ever in vice presidential debate. Texas Senator Lloyd Benson protested that his opponent, Senator Dan Quayle, was young and inexperienced. The Indiana Republican replied that John F. Kennedy was no older when he ran.
I have as much experience in the Congress as Jack Kennedy did when he sought the presidency. I will be prepared to deal with the people in the Bush administration if that unfortunate event would ever occur.
Senator Benson.
Senator, I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
Unforgettable, yes. Significant? Well, the Bush-Quayle ticket won despite that moment. Alan Schroeder of Northeastern University wrote the book on presidential debates and joins us from Boston. Professor Schroeder, do you think that the debates or a single debate could prove decisive in this election year?
I do, because it's so close. And, of course, anytime you've got the electorate sort of frozen in its perceptions and just a small percentage of people who are going to decide the outcome, the debates become particularly relevant and important.
Once two campaigns agree on a schedule of debates and that one is about foreign policy and the other is about domestic policy, what do they then start arguing about and what do they have to agree on before we actually see the debate?
They argue about every conceivable thing having to do with these debates. And in fact, what they'll do is they'll produce a memorandum of agreement that will be dozens and dozens of pages long that deal with everything from the placement of the microphones to where the spouses of the candidates sit, to who's in the audience, to how the tickets are distributed. It's just unbelievable the range of things that get dealt with in these negotiations.
Height. Who appears to be exactly what height is evidently something negotiated very carefully.
Yes, that is. And in years past, you've even seen them build little what are called pitcher's mounds behind the lecterns of the shorter candidates. In 1976, Gerald Ford, who had a reputation as a klutz, got it written into the contract that he would have a brace for his water glass so that he wouldn't clumsily knock the water glass off his podium during the debate. So they really try to leave nothing to chance here.
What's the history about town hall meeting formats, and are they any different than what we see in the sort of parallel speech format debates?
They're a lot less predictable than other forms of debates. The history on it is that it actually was Bill Clinton's suggestion in 1992 that there be a town hall debate, and much to the surprise of the Clinton campaign negotiators, the Bush people bought into that, and we've had them then in every subsequent election. This year, interestingly, that town hall debate apparently was one of the sticking points between the Kerry and the Bush campaigns in negotiating debates, and my understanding is that the Bush people were reluctant to put Bush before this group of undecided voters in a town hall format because it's a lot riskier, and these audiences that have been questioning Bush have been handpicked for their friendliness. So for Bush to expose himself to an audience of undecideds is a rather perilous move for him. At least that's what the Bush campaign seems to feel.
Alan Schroeder, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Alan Schroeder of Northeastern University wrote the book Presidential Debates, 40 Years of High-Risk TV.